Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
But you know, we have our Christian conservatives for Trump today, and they're in the room. Let's go.
Do I think that if somebody uses the phrase Islamic terrorism, that it's a huge deal? No.
Depression frees the Christian from the illusion that they can do everything themselves. Well, honestly, that puts you in a great position to hear the gospel.
This performance-based Christianity, you know, it's not sustaining. I mean, you can do that for a while if your life is really good, but when your life falls down around you, you need a comfort that only comes from the gospel.
Nebraska runners love issues, etc.
When I say the phrase Mormon missionary, what do you picture in your mind? You picture two young, clean-cut men, usually in white shirts, usually riding a bicycle through your neighborhood, coming to your door. Perhaps you're looking at them through closed curtains. They're clean-cut, they're courteous, and they are there to tell you ultimately about, well, Joseph Smith when it comes down to it. But they're coming there as Mormon missionaries knocking on your door. They do other things as well. Some of them, actually, some very good things that are helpful to society. But we are accustomed to this picture of these pairs of young men walking the neighborhoods or walking the streets of some city. They stand out, don't they? But there are Mormon missionaries that aren't young men. They are young women. I, until probably, maybe last year, didn't even know that such a thing existed. I've never seen one in the wild, but they do exist. In fact, according to the Salt Lake City Tribune, they are actually growing in number. We're going to be talking about female Mormon missionaries. Pastor Mark Kares will join us here for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio on this September the 29th, and thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, we'll be talking Christ in the Old Testament, our regular weekly series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer in Isaiah chapter 19. Join us with questions or comments or call in number 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or use the Issues Etc. comment line whenever, wherever you listen, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Pastor Mark Kares is president of Truth and Love Ministry, based in Napa, Idaho, and he's author of the book Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons. Mark, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Most people don't even know that they exist. Like me, they've probably never seen a pair of young women making their way through a neighborhood, carrying out and handing out literature on Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon. How long have there been female Mormon missionaries?
Actually, they've been around a long time, especially during like World War II and some of those. They were very active. A high percentage of the LDS missionaries were women during those times. But it wasn't until recently that they were discouraged from going on their missions because they wanted to reserve them for the men. It's just been probably in the last 10 years or so that they are not really totally encouraged, but they are. It's more of a neutral stand from the leadership. So there's a lot of LDS female missionaries right now. We have a program that we witness to LDS missionaries, and we regularly are talking with the females.
So what is the role of the mission that this trip, not a trip, it's this time assigned by the church, usually to young men and now even more so to young women? What is its role in the theology of Mormonism, especially for the men?
Well, for the men, everything in Mormonism is you have to be worthy for everything. And so many of this is they're showing their worthiness so that they can advance within the church. One of the things about Mormonism, and it, is that even though they don't see it, so much of Mormonism is, you know, turned back on themselves and it's a selfish religion. So many of their motivation is not so much, you know, to do and say people in a sense, but it's they have to do their job. It's their duty to go on their mission.
So is it officially a part of a requirement for a young man if he wants to stay in good stead with the local temple, or is it merely kind of the social pressure of the Mormon community to do this?
It's not a requirement. Tremendous family pressure often. Often a lot of peer pressure, and then the pressure of the culture. If you don't go on your mission, the grassroots Mormons, at least, will probably treat you a little bit as a second-class citizen. You won't advance as much.
So it is a practical requirement for men. Is that a good way of putting it?
Right. We have talked to literally hundreds of returned Mormon missionaries, and more than one I described it more almost like a boot camp experience. You know, it's something they have to go through in order to be a good Mormon. The sisters, on the other hand, because they don't have that pressure, often the sisters are much more dedicated to Mormonism. So when we're witnessing to the female missionaries, they are often know their scriptures better. They are much more devoted to Mormonism than many of the young men.
Because no one's making them do it, in essence.
Right. They more have a desire to do it, and they're often quite fervent in their faith and everything. So witnessing to a sister missionary is quite often quite different from witnessing to one of the elders, one of the young men.
What are they supposed to be doing, whether men or women, on the mission?
Well, their goal will be to get converts, to baptize. So even almost from the day one, they will be asking, they call them investigators, we would call them prospects, but they would be asking the investigators, you know, about being baptized into the LDS Church. That's really their goal, and they are pushing that from day one. So that's really what, you know, their goal is, but they have a really good structure. So they are, you know, are held accountable of how many visits they're making, you know, how many presentations they are giving and so forth. And honestly, you know, their rate of success is very low. I mean, most Mormon missionaries, you know, for all the months they're on their mission is mainly rejection that they experience.
So the growth of Mormonism is not a function so much of these missions that are undertaken by young men and women, but of what?
Well, a little bit. You know, the Mormon Church is still getting about, you know, 250,000 converts a year. But, you know, they got about 80,000 missionaries out there. So, I mean, even that, you know, that would be, if they all came through the missionaries, that would be, you know, four converts a year by the missionaries. But I would say a good missionary on his mission might get one or two converts a year going full time. A lot of it is Mormon people witnessing to their coworkers or neighbors and so forth. So they get just as many new members through what we would call friendship evangelism as from their official Mormon missionary program.
So let's talk a little bit about the traditional role of women and the theological role of women in Mormon theology and practice. How would you summarize it, Mark?
The role of women is very important theologically for one reason, is that the goal of Mormonism is to be exalted, which means to become a god. That's part of their scriptures and Doctrine and Covenants. But you cannot become a god by yourself. You always have to have a spouse. So a Mormon man cannot become a god without a wife and vice versa. So theologically, it's very, very important. Their role is very important for the eternal family aspect of Mormonism. And that all ties in with being a god. Now, on a practical level, only Mormon men have the priesthood, what they believe is gives them authority and power from God. And thus, they do not hold, you know, leadership positions over men or anything. So the Mormon women really have to look to their males for guidance and, you know, the priesthood power and authority.
There have been, and I'm thinking here really over about the last 3 years, there have been some rumblings in Mormon land. That is kind of the western United States, the northwestern United States, about, and I don't know how it translates from the Christian parlance into Mormon parlance, but about women being clergy, so to speak, in Mormonism. Just a small but very vocal movement for women to have and be able to exercise the Mormon priesthood. What's that all about?
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you said small but vocal. I would say it's quite small and probably, you know, quite vocal. So I would say the vast majority of LDS, both men and women, this idea of the women getting the priesthood or, you know, be able to, in our parlance, maybe be clergy, I think that's really a back burner issue for most of your common LDS people, and they don't think about it very often. It's just not a big deal for most of the grassroots Mormons out here, at least in my experience. I talk to many LDS women. They say, we're too busy already. We don't need the priesthood. I mean, that's kind of how they shrugged it off with me.
So whether it is, because you deal with Mormon missionaries all the time, whether it is a pair of young men or a pair of young women who come knocking at the door or who strike up a conversation at the mall or something like that, how would you counsel a Christian to deal with that encounter?
Well, the first thing we do is we don't wait for them. We actually notify the LDS church and say, please send the missionaries over to our house. So we take the initiative and ask for them. And what we do is we right up front say we do not want to convert to Mormonism or anything, but we just want to learn about it. And then they start teaching their lessons, and we show them a lot of respect, and we feed them, especially the young men. But what happens then is, as they talk, then we ask questions, we ask definitions, and then we can say, oh, by the way, last week you were talking about sin, let me bring in some Bible passages. And through this technique, we average about 8 to 9 visits with missionaries. They come back 8 or 9 times. Sometimes they come back 14, 15 times. And by about the third visit, we are the ones teaching them. So it's been really a remarkable experience for us.
Well, and part of that is it's, I think you're kind of wise as the serpent there in some cases, Mark, because these are young men, some of them fresh out of high school, and they're far from home and family, and their connection to family is somewhat limited, in some cases severely limited. You're kind of using that as an opportunity, aren't you?
Right. They're lonely. They're hungry. They face rejection. They can only call home twice a year. They can never go home, but they can only call home on Christmas and Mother's Day. And they only get 2 weeks of training. So they are untrained, like you say, almost straight out from high school with no worldly experience. They meet rejection both from many of the Mormons they visit and the other people. And suddenly they come to somebody who's nice to them. And, you know, we jump right away to their top tier of their visits because we are willing to talk with them. And what's so nice is the people who are witnessing to them really get to know them and care for them. And they sense that, you know, they sense that we are sincerely concerned for them.
When they come, you say they're teaching their lessons. What are those lessons really about in the end?
Well, what they are, they're little pamphlets, and actually when somebody joins our program, we actually mail them a set of pamphlets before the Mormon missionaries come because so they see what they are. But the first one is basically about Joseph Smith, as you said in your introduction, and we don't want to have the talk there, so we tell people don't ask questions there. But usually the second lesson is called the plan of salvation, and in a very simple way, they lay out their plan of salvation, but it hits the key points of the role of sin and atonement and so forth. And so that's where we really slow it down. We ask a lot of questions. And honestly, in many of our cases, when people are going 8 or 9 visits, they never get past that second pamphlet because we control the conversation. But then they have a third pamphlet called The Gospel of Jesus Christ, which basically is talking about the importance of repentance, which does not mean the same thing in Mormonism. It has something completely different, and it gives a little bit more of their theology, but that's about their lessons right there.
And in the end, will the Christian hear words that sound a lot like, maybe even exactly like, words that Christians use, but mean something very different, it sounds like?
Yes, that's one of the hardest hurdles when we were talking to LDS, is they use the same words, but I always say they have a different dictionary. They define the words differently. And that's why one of our techniques is to constantly ask questions. How do you define this key term? How do you do that? And then we talk about that. But you have to go very slowly with them because of that. And the other thing in Mormon culture, even with their own scriptures, they are not used to really studying them. They read them, but they really don't think about them. So we have to almost, in a sense, even though they're very intelligent, some of them, we have to almost teach them how to actually think about and study a Bible verse. So a lot of this, we go pretty slow with them.
Do they know Mormonism well?
Well, most of them only get 2 weeks of training, and many of them, some, especially the young men, will admit after we build this relationship, they have never read the Book of Mormon, for example, or they went on their mission because they were trying to clean up their act after high school, and so many of them have know hardly anything about Mormonism, and after we build this relationship, they readily admit that, and that's why they are so open for us to teach them, because... And a lot of times we are doing some really simple Bible things, and they said, we have never heard this, and they are really interested. We even have a couple cases where the parents of the missionaries called our people and said, please let me know what you're teaching our son, because he emailed us, and we want to hear more about this.
Pastor Mark Kares is president of Truth in Love Ministry, based in Napa, Idaho, and author of the book Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons. You'll find a link to both the book and Truth in Love Ministry at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Kares, keep up the good work.
Well, thank you so much.
We are going to be in Isaiah 19 when we come back from this break. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is with us, as he is every Thursday, for our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be looking at the mystery of the incarnation in the cloud, some spiritual warfare going nicely with some of our conversations earlier with Pastor Will Whedon on St. Michael and All Angels. Isaiah 19 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, Christ in the Old Testament, right after this.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performance Fitness 618.com.